So this is a non-Muslim professor. He's a professor of Arabic studies in Italy. In Rome, you
Roma,
said?
In Rome, yeah.
In Rome. And he saw my first interview with you, apparently,
yes,
where we talked about maqamat.
Yep.
And he became super interested. And now he finished.
The entire 8 maqams, and he recited with all of them.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
And we went to the Fajr prayer, and this brother, I still remember his name, Brother Saif. I don't know where he is and who he is still. But I remember he led the prayer and he recited. I didn't know much Quran at all. And he was an Iraqi fellow. And he recited Surat Qaf. I didn't know it's Surat Qaf at the time. I didn't even read Quran properly at the time. And he recited Surat Qaf. And I remember crying my heart out in Fajr, not knowing what he's saying.
There is Ramadan is coming, inshallah, and a lot of Qurra, they have problem with their throat, with their nose. They have a lot of issues there.
Yeah.
And they don't know the solution for it.
So a lot of the sessions, my recitation was a train wreck also because I have really bad sinuses.
Okay
so this is a little
Sheikh
bit.
Naba, I fixed this.
Okay.
With months searching about things to help any Qari, if he takes it, alhamdulillah, gonna fix his problem like 90%.
Awesome.
Inshallah.
Qari Maker, powered by Maqamat Institute.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. It was an amazing 8 Maqamat journey that we had together. This session is dedicated to actually highlighting the effort that the Shaykh is making, Maqamat Institute, and its objectives, because I think everybody listening should be familiar with this resource. And I'll share also my thoughts at the end of why I think this is so important, inshallah. But Sheikh, tell us a little bit about the different audiences you're trying to benefit from the Maqamat Institute.
Alhamdulillah, we started like 1 year ago.
Okay.
And I was like, I had aim to reach to 3 kind of audience.
Okay.
The first audience, which those who are making hifz, those who are memorizing Al-Quran or understanding Al-Quran. Making tafsir, listening to tafsir. I advise everyone to start his journey with maqamat. Do not wait until you finish the Quran, then you come to learn the maqamat. You're just gonna waste your umr.
I feel like what you're saying is so important also, because when somebody's memorizing the Quran, they're repeating a lot.
Yes.
And if they're practicing their maqamat at the time, every time they're repeating, they're improving themselves as they go.
You're gonna have 2 birds with 1 stone.
Right. That's
amazing.
That's
the first audience. Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of huffab. Now, inshallah, alhamdulillah, our ma'ahad has more than 300 students.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. Big shariha.
My dua for it is 3 million or more.
Ya Rabbi, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We try to reach to everyone wants to learn al-maqamat and beautify his or her voice in all over the world. That's our purpose.
That's awesome. Ta'ala.
But that's the first audience.
Right.
The second one, those who already huffab, alhamdulillah.
Right.
And they wanted to lead salawat. They wanted to lead taraweeh. We go inshallah, Ramadan open the doors now.
Right.
They have to start the journey from now. Every single session they're going to take it benefits them and make their voice more better. And they can even have the technique of the imam. I have the whole chapter. It talks about how to use the mic, how to stand, how to start the maqam in takbirat al-ihram. Because many people, they know the maqamat. When they go to pray, when they say Allahu Akbar, they say Allahu Akbar with different maqam than which they intend to recite, then the maqam just goes. For how to even start your salah with the maqam.
Yeah. Like, I'm not knowledgeable in maqamat, except for what the brief exposure I've had, but I've led the prayer many times, and depending on how you start your prayer, even if you had something in your head, it doesn't come out that way.
Yep. For how to start, how to stand, how to use the mic.
It's almost
how
like
to
tuning start your instrument.
This is the second audience. And alhamdulillah, we have imams from everywhere, even some imams from Al-Haram. Alhamdulillah.
Masha'Allah.
I don't like Allah to mention names because it's Al-Haram. Alhamdulillah. That's the second audience. The third audience, and this is the most interesting thing for me, that to make da'wah with that one. And I showed you the guy, professor from Italy. He is learning, and he finished now, the whole entire maqams.
So this is a non-Muslim professor. He's a professor of Arabic studies in Italy. In Rome,
In Rome, yeah.
In Rome. And he saw my first interview with you, apparently, where we talked about maqamat.
Yep.
And he became super interested. And now he's
finished. The whole entire 8 maqams, and he recited with all of them. We're gonna even put like 1 minute or something.
Yeah, I'll show you this clip in this video of him. It's incredible.
With us now, Michael from Italy. How are you, Michael?
Fine, alhamdulillah, ya Shaykh.
Can you tell just people about your story in half minute?
Okay, I studied in the past. I studied Arabic language. I am Italian, 100% Italian.
Now we learned many maqams, but now I'm gonna ask you about to read with different maqams to show people that alhamdulillah we have an Italian professor. He is learning maqamat. But alhamdulillah now, after he learned it with us in Maqamat Institute, now bi-ibnillahi ta'ala he will recite with many different melodies. And this is my happiness today. Let me listen to you, Sheikh Michael, from Maqam An-Nahawand. Can you recite from Maqam An-Nahawand something?
Naam, naam.
After we spend about hours for learning Maqamat, now you read, inshallah.
Naam, naam.
Go ahead, Sheikh. Bismillah.
Naam, naam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
So it's a gateway to that. I would add a couple of audiences.
You know what he did also after that?
Yeah.
He went to his students and he started talking with them about maqamat. Fanta, you talk literally about non-Muslim, non-Arab, non-whatever.
Yeah.
They don't care about Islam. They now start listening to maqams and definitely they're going to love it. Then definitely they're going to love the Quran.
Yeah.
It's like a sabab.
Why is this? What's this beautiful sound? What does it mean?
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
That's the main purpose for me that's with so this amazing. Institute. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
It reminds me of لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. There's not one way to Allah. Like, there's multiple pathways, right? So I would add a couple of audiences that I think can benefit from your institute.
Inshallah.
One audience I think definitely is young activists, khatibs. You know, students that are giving khutbah in university or, you know, people that volunteer and give khutbah in different masajid, you end up leading the prayer, right? And if you're leading the prayer in a beautiful way, that actually is, you know, it's the final impact you leave as the prayer comes to an end, right? So the fact that people experienced a beautiful prayer resonates and everything you try to give as a message in the khutbah actually sticks better. So I think that's really important, an audience, but also many parents around the world that want their children to learn to recite the Quran, even if they're not making them hufaz of the Quran, they want them to recite the Quran. The problem is you get some qari to get your kid to recite the Quran, but they don't like it. And they don't like it because they don't see any enjoyment in it. But if this becomes, you know, pardon the language, but it becomes divine music for them with the ahkam of tajweed. It's actually the rhythm, the beauty that Allah intends for people to experience with the Quran. If a child develops that connection to the Quran, that I think you won't have to push for an emotional connection to the Quran's recitation with maqamat. They can actually learn to just, they're just driving in the car to school. They're just reciting, you know, Bayati or Hijaz or, you know, Rust. And they're like, hey, mom, I'm going to do Rust today. And they're reciting Surat al-Mulk or something, you know, that because now it's become something that they find joy in. And I think so for parents that have already taught their kids or are teaching their children how to read the Quran, the alif ba, the flow in reading, if you can make that rhythmic and enjoyable for your children, then I think this is, especially the older kids, you know, 12 and older, I think, they can really pick this up. And benefit from it. So I think there are lots of audiences. Of course, non-Muslims, like you said, you know, an unlikely audience, but still an audience, you know, for this work. So the reason I wanted to kind of conclude this session with just some thoughts on why I think beautifying the Quran is so important. And I said some of these things in the opening session, but I just want to add a couple of really quick observations about the recitation of the Quran. I was in university. I went to a convention when I was in college, the Muslim Students Association convention, and I did not know any Arabic at the time, right? And we went to the Fajr prayer, and this brother, I still remember his name, Brother Saif. I don't know where he is and who he is still. But I remember he led the prayer, and he recited. I didn't know much Quran at all, and he was an Iraqi fellow. And he recited Surat Qaf. I didn't know it's Surat Qaf at the time. I didn't even read Quran properly at the time. And he recited Surat Qaf. And I remember crying my heart out in Fajr, not knowing what he's saying. And it's not even like social crying, like the guy next to me is crying, so I'm like, okay, I'll cry too. No. It's the word of Allah was just, it was doing something to me because of the beautiful, magnanimous way in which he was reciting the ayat. And I had to find out. And then there was a big crowd. I couldn't find him. So I had to ask, do you know which surah he was reciting? Like, I needed to know what is it that he was reciting. And that got me reading the translation of Surat Qaf. And it got me curious about reading translations to begin with. Like, I was already heading towards Islam, but like the real Quran curiosity, one of the pivotal moments in my memory is actually listening to powerful recitation of the Quran. So I don't think we should undermine the power of this, the power of just the sound of the Quran echoing in the world. We're a fifth of the world's population. Imagine if, you know, men, women, children are reciting Quran. Like, sometimes I'm listening to Quran in the car, I'm getting gas. This actually happened to me. I was getting gas. I was listening to a recitation of Quran. I was listening to Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi.
Allah.
Right? And this guy next to me getting gas, he goes, hey man, what is that? What song is that? Can I get that? And I was like, yeah, I'll show you. What's he saying? And then we had a conversation about Surat al-Asr because he just heard the recitation of the Quran. Your wife, you told me. Your mom has a...
Alhamdulillah, from my dad. It was the same thing, Sheikh. It's like a circle. You recite, someone listened to you, he got admired the recitation. This admiring brings something bigger. Then you have kids. Then Noura, my daughter now is Noura. Inshallah, she has talent. I can tell. She has 2 years old.
MashaAllah. Yeah,
in the future, definitely, inshallah, I'm going to teach her something. Then she gonna teach. It's like this, Sheikh.
Yeah.
You
well, Hadid. We Allah. Already. My wife and I already agreed. Hadid is your student. My baby.
Oh, inshallah.
He's 6 months old now, but I'm prepping him right now.
I
already.
Promise you, inshallah.
Inshallah. So that's what I think is so powerful and beautiful about this, and it's these are aspects of our identity that preserve a heritage. There are cultures that are thousands of years old, and they still sing the same folk songs from their ancestors, right? Or they play the same instruments. What is the instrument of our ancestors and the heritage of Islam that went from, you mentioned Rast, Nahawand, Ajam. There's multiple maqamat that have nothing to do with the Arabs. And they went all over the place and then can connect it to the Quran. So this Quran is actually, and its beautiful recitation is our heritage. And it is a part of preserving our identity. I was telling you before, like, I went to Pakistan recently, and I saw that the quality of Urdu declined. So even though I've lived in America in my pretty much my teen life and older, they told me I have old person Urdu, and I heard young people speaking, and half the language they were speaking was English. Every other word and even Urdu sentences was English. The same thing in the Arab world. The youth are incorporating French and English, into the Arabic language, right? What does this look like 30 years from now? What does this look like 40 years from now? Like, just think about that, right? The cultures are being erased. Their language and their heritage is being erased. And the only thing that can restore them is something powerful enough that gives you a reason to stay connected. Nothing is more powerful than the Quran. Every part of the Quran is powerful. It's recitation, it's memorization, it's tajweed, it's meaning, it's tafsir, it's da'wah. Every aspect of the Quran is miraculously powerful. So to me, the only way we can turn the cultural tide is to preserve and nourish this aspect of our culture. And I'm really grateful that you took this on. I know some people are like, what's the point of, this is just beautifying the recitation. What's the point? Actually, this is the last thing. I don't want to talk too long, but I'll say one last thing. I was studying Sheikhna. I was studying in Australia. I was giving a dars on Surat al-Taghabun. And in Surat al-Taghabun, Allah talked about, you know, خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. He created the skies and the earth with purpose. So there's purpose. But then he says, والذي خلق فصوركم وأحسن صوركم. He beautifully molded you, and he molded you, and he beautified the molding of you. So Allah is not just talking about purpose; he's also talking about beauty.
صوركم فأحسن صوركم.
Right. So I got really interested at the time, like, what is the relationship between beauty and purpose?
Hmm.
So an engineer is only concerned with purpose, right? The machine should work, right? Wrong. Some of the greatest engineers in the history of the world, like the greatest aeronautics engineers, car engineers, mechanical engineers, right? You know what they talked about? If it's beautiful, it's got purpose. Actually, some of the most successful aircrafts in the military, in commercial aircraft, the designers of them said, beauty is purpose. They saw this. They understood this. And purpose is beauty. What did Allah do in the Quran? Allah could have just told us, Allah is one. There's an afterlife. This is the Prophet. This is the Quran. How many times did he repeat that? Like, ilahukum ilahun wahid, or khalaqa samawati wal ard, or over and over again. Why? Why? Because every time he repeats it with a new beauty. Because if it's just purpose, you can fit the message of the Meccan Quran on one page. This is the ma'lumat, the essential knowledge, what you need. Believe in prophets, believe in Allah, believe in the afterlife. You can fit that on 2-3 pages. The stories of the prophets are not that detailed. You can fit them. But Allah beautified the message. And Allah beautified the recitation of that message. You know what that means? And when he created us, he didn't just create us functional. Our faces, our hands, our legs, our limbs, they didn't have to look beautiful. They just had to be functional. By the way, a spider is also functional. Right, a crocodile is also functional. They have function, right? So we could have looked like that, but Allah created us beautifully. So in fact, acknowledging the beauty of the Quran and celebrating the beauty of the Quran, part of what you're doing, it's to me, it's so fundamental. It's actually one of the purposes of the Quran. It's not an extracurricular activity. It is a fundamental component of experiencing the Quran, because Allah doesn't just want purpose in this world. He also wants beauty. I'll give you one last example of that. Comes from Surah Ar-Rahman. The same surah in which he says, Allama al-Quran. You know when he says, وَالنَّخْلُ ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ?
No.
Okay, a horse eats. Okay? A horse eats hay on the ground. Right? And it has what it needs. The cow eats the grass. It has what it needs. Human beings needed carbs, fats, proteins, water. He could have made it so ugly. By the way, insects have proteins too. Cockroaches have proteins in them too, right? Mosquitoes have them in them too. You can get carbs and proteins and fats from barks of trees and leaves that taste terrible. But Allah said he gave you fruit and then he packaged it beautifully. Dhatul akmam.
Subhanallah.
Why? Actually, in the hospital, when somebody can't eat, they put a drip in them or they give them hospital food. It tastes terrible, but it's nutrition that they need, right? So Allah didn't create this world just with purpose. Allah created this world with purpose and beauty. Everything about it. We want to eat something beautiful. We want to taste something beautiful. We want to hear something beautiful. We want to see something beautiful. We want to experience something beautiful. We want to go somewhere beautiful. Our entire life is driven by beauty. When you buy a car, what do you think about? Only horsepower? Or how does it look? When you buy these phones or whatever, if the look and feel, you know, the design department is actually as important as the engineering department. The most successful software companies, if Windows or, you know, iOS, these big manufacturers, if they didn't design their product beautifully, we wouldn't buy it. We would not buy it. You know, software engineers make really ugly apps. They have to have an entire design and nobody will download it. Nobody will use it because it's ugly. Right. So the most beautiful thing human beings have in their possession that Allah has allowed them to access is Allah's own words. Then imagine the weight of beautifying the word of Allah. Imagine the weight of celebrating and bringing out that beauty. So I'm really grateful to you for what you're doing.
And
may Allah Azza wa Jal just make us of the people that fulfill the purpose of Allah's book and acknowledge and spread the beauty of Allah's book both together. Barakallahu walakum. Thank you so very much.
I just left a gift for you.
Yes, tell me.
I'm also advising every Qari. See, there is Ramadan is coming, inshallah, and a lot of Qurra, they have problem with their throat, with their nose. Mm. They have a lot of issues there.
Yeah.
And they don't know the solution for it.
So a lot of the sessions, my recitation was a train wreck also Because I have really bad sinuses.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a little
Sheikh
bit.
Sheikh, I fixed this.
Okay.
With months searching about things to help any qari, if he takes it, alhamdulillah, gonna fix his problem like 90%.
Awesome.
Inshallah. And I call it like qari
care packed.
Yeah. It has humidifier.
Okay.
This one. Just inshallah, gift for you, Sheikh. Which camera? This one? Yeah. This one fixes the problem of humidity. Because every qari needs kind of humid air,
right,
to fix the problem of the nose and the passage, problem with the throat.
Yeah.
A lot of area are so dry, then the qari who lives especially in Texas or lives in Egypt, in Morocco, or even here in America in many states, he's going to suffer, I'm telling you.
Right.
For this one, it fixes the problem of the humidity.
Okay.
Then I have also another thing. It's called a razor rinse that for the nose. It goes and clean the nose and clean even al-jiyub al-anfiyya, the nose's pockets here. Then we have also some ashab like ginseng and these things, which also fixes the thing. All of that in the, you know, and just the qari can take it. If everyone wants to have it, it's on our website.
Oh, that's great. So then you don't have to go shopping around for it. Also support the organization. Get a care pack for yourself.
I brought this for you, Sheikh.
Yes.
Inshallah, gonna help a lot.
That's awesome. Alhamdulillah. Ironically, I was literally going to go buy a humidifier today.
Oh,
I got it as a gift.
For Hadid.
For Hadid, yeah. Now I realize it was for myself and Hadid.
Inshallah.
Zakallah khair. I love you so, so much.
Allah
protect you and Allah bring so much khair into the ummah through you. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I hope that you enjoyed watching this video. For those who want to learn different methods of recitation, for those who want to improve their voice and bring it to a higher level, for those who want to enjoy and delight both prayers and listeners with their voice, for those who want to practice, inshallah, the whole maqamat practically one-on-one with me, sign up here.